The difference between English and British is very important. Britain is a political word. The British government, the British Prime Minister, the British Minister of Defence. It is impossible to say the English Prime Minister. En effet, en français, on dit le Premier ministre anglais, tout le monde sait de qui on parle. En Angleterre, si vous dites the English Prime Minister, nobody knows what you're talking about. No, the British Prime Minister. So, when do we use English? English is only for this section. That section over there. So, for example, we talk about English folk music. A music folk anglais. Because it's different from Scottish folk music and Irish folk music. But we talk about British rock music, because rock music is the same in London and Glasgow, or any other kind of modern music. Okay, so you have here the most important cities. Of course, London, the biggest. Over to the west, you have Birmingham. Liverpool, Manchester. And in Scotland you have Edinburgh. Edinburgh is the cultural capital of Scotland. And you have Glasgow. Glasgow is the industrial capital. What is the capital of Wales? Cardiff is the capital of Wales. Okay. So, there you have your definitions. Great Britain is England, Wales and Scotland. Three nations.
Attention, même chose quand vous êtes en Écosse. Nous, il ne faut pas dire « j'aime bien votre région ». Pour les Écossais, c'est un pays, c'est pas une région.
Be careful. Yeah. You can lose friends like that. And the United Kingdom is Great Britain plus Northern Ireland.
J'avais oublié de dire, mais on va retracer un peu le conflit nord-irlandais et ce que font les Anglais là-bas.
The United Kingdom is a political entity, Great Britain a geographical term. Notice that...
What's that?
Yes, no. Britain, the United Kingdom, is very small. France is much bigger. France is double the United Kingdom. And notice we have a similar population, around 60 million. And so the first thing you notice about Britain, and especially England, is it is full of towns. There is very little countryside in England, especially. In Scotland, yes. In England, it's big towns and towns and towns.
Le petit village, ça n'existe plus en Angleterre. En Angleterre proper. It's finished.
And agriculture is not so important in Britain as in France. In France, agriculture is still big money. Yeah? Wine, tomatoes, corn, etc. In England, not so important. Here you have a few statistics. First of all, 50% of the population live in the countryside. 15% des Britanniques habitent à la campagne. It's not much. And here you have the 10 biggest towns. Greater London, the West Midlands, that's Birmingham, Greater Manchester, West Yorkshire. West Yorkshire is two towns, Leeds and Bradford,
But they touch. Yeah. Leeds touches Bradford, and Bradford touches Leeds. They are not two separate towns. Greater Manchester, Greater Glasgow in Scotland. Tyneside, that's in the northeast of England. It was very famous for ships, for building ships. Liverpool, of course, famous for music and ships. And also in Liverpool, there have always been a lot of Irish people. Nottingham, Sheffield, Bristol. Those are the big ones. The Sheffield and Bristol are not very important. But those are the 10 biggest. And as I say, not a lot of people live in the countryside. Now, there is something of a social division between the north and the south. The north of Britain is not so rich. Yeah. The traditional industries were in the north. Glasgow, Liverpool, Manchester, Leeds, big traditional industries, textiles, ships, steel, coal. And as you know, today, the decline of these industries, and so there is much more money in the south, around London and further south. Now that's Manchester Town Hall. So the division north and south, this division dating back to the Industrial Revolution, and because of the decline in the traditional industries, the south is where the money is. London is a very important financial centre. If you want to be a trader or a banker, JSE is about 60% of you, I think. That is the place to be. London is an international financial centre, more important in finance than Paris or Madrid or Berlin. Incomes, job opportunities are all much lower in the northern regions. And the result is that the north is much poorer than the south. Much poorer, no money. Unemployment in Britain today is a little lower than in France, but it's still high. And the north of England, unemployment is almost twice as high. Presque deux fois dans le nord. And also, people do not live so long in the north. Now, they don't have so much money, they don't live so long. The long Conservative governments from 1979 to 97, the division between north and south became bigger. Je ne sais pas s'il y a des gens qui connaissent l'Allemagne. C'est pas tout à fait comme les régions est et ouest de l'Allemagne, mais c'est presque ça. One of the results is that it is extremely expensive to live in the south. Houses in London are more expensive than in Paris. Yeah? Extremely expensive they are. Let's have a look at the population. The population is around 61 million people. And as you can see, here you have the four nations. 51 million people in England, only 3 million people in Wales, only 5 million people in Scotland. Scotland is big, but there is a lot of mountains and lakes, very beautiful Scotland, and 1.7 million in Northern Ireland. So most British people live in England. 84% of British people live in England.
Souvent on oublie, on a l'impression Angleterre, l'école, c'est un peu équilibré.
Pas du tout. 84% des Britanniques sont des Anglais. On sort proper in England. Okay. 5% are Welsh. 8.5% are Scottish, and 3% in Northern Ireland. Voilà.
Vous voulez une information rassurante? Je vais mettre les diapos sur le bloc.
Notez bien que ce n'est pas l'ensemble du cours, c'est qu'une partie, mais ça vous allez pouvoir retrouver sur Internet. Je me rends bien compte que c'est un peu trop. Alors écoutez, essayez de comprendre. Right, okay. The population is still rising. Why is the population rising? First of all, people live longer. Yeah, the death rates are falling. People live longer. The birth rate is not really changing, but immigration is on the rise. The big immigration today is from Poland. Poland is the big immigration in England today. When you go to London and you go in the cafe, the waiters and the cashiers, they are Polish. Peut-être pas tous, mais il y en a qui se livrent. A lot of Polish people. Because now Poland is part of the European Union, Polish people who want to live somewhere else have the rights, and of course, they speak better English than French, so they come to England.
Ma mère est très contente de l'arrivée de tous les Polonais parce qu'ils sont des catholiques. Et l'église était vide et maintenant c'est rempli parce qu'il y a tous les Polonais. Voilà.
Alors, ma maman est contente au moins. Of course, the population of the United Kingdom is aging. Chaque année, ils sont plus vieux.
Je le ressens d'ailleurs.
If you look at the second line, you can see that in 2007, there are, for the first time, more pensioners than young people under 16.
Vous vous rappelez du sens de pensioners? C'est quoi les pensioners?
Des retraités, merci, des retraités. Des retraités. Les pensionnaires? Non, les retraités. And in 2007, there you have the number of people over 90 years of age.
Je n'en fais pas partie.
311,000 women and 106,000 men are over 90. Of course, old people need a lot of hospitals, a lot of doctors, and social security, and there has been a big debate in England about pensions, just like in France. Some people say, the government says, you must work longer. Yeah? And not everybody agrees. Some people say, no, that we live in a rich country, it's not necessary to work longer. So there's a big debate. At the moment, a few years ago, the pension age, l'âge de la retraite, was 65 for men and 60 for women. And it is changing at the moment. It will be 65 for everybody. Not 60 for everybody, 65 for everybody. Huh? And the government is thinking they would quite like 68, okay, which is quite a lot, I think.
Comme ça, j'aurai encore 10 ans.
Let's have a look at the situation of women in Britain. There are 30 million women, 30.5 million women compared with 29 million men. This is surprising because every year there are more boy babies than girl babies. But the reason for it, first of all, is that more men leave the country. Parmi ceux qui quittent le pays pour travailler ailleurs, il y a plus d'hommes que de femmes. And also, men die more, younger men die more frequently. Accident and suicide is very important. So, you can see, when you get to the age of 22, you have the same number of men and women. And after 50, there are more and more women and less men. And finally, you can see that in 2005, for every one man aged over 90, there were three women. Donc, si les garçons, si vous arrivez à 90 ans, vous avez le choix de femmes. Hein? Il y en a trois femmes pour chacun. OK. N'attendez pas trop. Most women today, of course, have a job, and women in total represent 45% of the British workforce. Donc 25% des salariés sont des femmes. And here you have the percentages. Donc il faut lire à l'âge de 16 ans, 32% des hommes et 34% des femmes sont au travail. Ça qu'il faut le dire. Hein? À l'âge de 18 à 24 ans, 60 et quelques. La première chose que vous remarquerez, c'est que les gens, ils travaillent jeunes. C'est un cours très courant pour des enfants de 13-14 ans de travailler le samedi comme boulot. C'est ce que j'ai fait quand j'avais 13 ans. Hein? En France, c'est assez rare, je crois. Qui a commencé à travailler avant 14 ans? Même un week-end ou quelque chose. Quelques-uns, oui. Hein? C'est pas très courant en France. Dans l'agriculture, non, c'est souvent le cas. Okay, so there you have the information. Notice that from 25 to 49, there are fewer women because women are often, some women stay at home with the children in the middle of their life. Okay? Now, of course, unfortunately, in every country, it is not so easy to get a very good job if you're a woman. And at the moment, if you look at the most important companies in Britain, the big companies, only 10% of the directors are women in the private sector. However, in the public sector, hospitals, schools, universities, the situation is a little better. 24% of the big jobs, the very well-paid jobs, are for women. These numbers have risen somewhat, especially in the public sector, over the last 20 years. Alors, si on prend l'équivalent des maires, the local government chief executive, c'est un peu le rôle d'un maire en France, d'un maire de ville. 21% are women. It's not 50, but it's much more than it was before. And 19.5% of the members of parliament are women too. There have been some attempts to oblige people not to discriminate between men and women. In 1970, the Equal Pay Act. That's 40 years ago, but pay is still not equal. So it's very slow progress. The Sex Discrimination Act, donc le Act, c'est une loi, hein, tout ce qui est marqué Act, c'est une loi qui est votée au Parlement. Sex Discrimination Act, these two laws means that men and women are, in theory, Equal before the law, in theory. However, recently, there has been something completely new. And this is, since 2007, public sector employers are obliged by law to promote gender equality. Now, I want to explain this because it's a little bit complicated. Before 2007, it is illegal to discriminate. The boss cannot say, I don't want a woman. However, after 2007, that is not enough. After 2007, if you are a university or a hospital or a school, you must actively promote gender equality. Donc, il ne suffit pas de ne pas discriminer, il faut promouvoir l'égalité. C'est-à-dire, par exemple, si c'est un hôpital qui a 1000 employés et les 100 managers sont 80% des hommes, ce qui est souvent le cas, l'hôpital est obligé d'agir pour essayer de remédier à ça. Ce n'est pas un système à l'américaine de quotas, il n'y a pas de quotas en Angleterre, ça n'existe pas, mais ce n'est pas non plus simplement éviter de discriminer directement. C'est qu'il faut une politique active d'essayer de savoir pourquoi il n'y a que 20% de managers qui sont des femmes dans l'hôpital et faire quelque chose. Ok, so this is the idea of promoting gender equality. It's a new idea and it is intermediate between two other methods. The traditional method, you must not discriminate, but you don't have to be actively against inequality. And the quota method, which has been used in some countries, there are no quotas in Britain, but there is this new method. It is new, we are not sure what the result is. It's difficult to see what the result is. But it's a new idea. Nevertheless, on average, women only earn 2/3 of men's wages, mainly because they are concentrated in low-status, low-paid and part-time jobs, working in shops, working in offices, nurses, cleaning, etc. So there's still a big problem of equality. Notice that only the public sector employers are obliged to promote gender equality. Hospitals, universities, town councils, etc. The private company, they can do what they like. They are not obliged. The trade unions, les syndicats, would like the same obligation in the private sector, but it's not happened yet. Let's have a quick look at the history of immigration. The first big country of immigration was Ireland. C'est pas bien loin, faut le dire. In 1850, there was a terrible famine in Ireland. 30% of the population died. Another 30% left the country. My great-grandparents came to England to work on the railway. Many Irish people came to England to work on the railway, to dig the railways. The second big group of immigrants came from Russia in 1900, 1902, 1904, 1910, because this was a time when it was extremely dangerous to be Jewish in Russia, and England, it seemed better. Sometimes Jews came to England, they wanted to go to America, but they stayed in England, so very, very poor Jewish workers. And they settled in the east of London. The third big group of immigrant workers are what we call in English West Indians.
vous direz des Antillais britanniques ou des Antillais anglophones.
In the 50s and 60s, came over to England to work in the hospitals, on the buses.
Très très souvent, les immigrés antillais qui arrivaient trouvaient du travail dans le secteur public qui était un peu moins raciste. Il y a encore des racistes, mais
dans le public, c'était moins raciste.
So a lot of people working in hospitals, buses, trains, the post office, etc. The next big group, which is much bigger in Britain than in France, is people from India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh. Of course, these countries in the past were part of the British Empire, and so many of them speak English, and it seemed logical for them to come to England to work in the 1960s and the early 1970s. Today, it is very difficult to come to England if you come from India. Yeah? But in the 1960s and the 1970s, it was easy to come. So today we have a lot of children of Indians and Pakistanis, and we will look at that in a moment. In the last 20 years, the most important groups of immigrants have been asylum seekers, les chercheurs d'asile, from Iraq, Afghanistan. Il y a beaucoup d'endroits où il est bien plus dangereux de vivre qu'en Angleterre. Alors, pas mal de réfugiés. And of course, because of the new European Union, a lot of people from Poland and Czech Republic, and you can see on the last line, about 500,000 people born in Poland live in Britain. Here we have the list of where were people born. The people who live in Britain, where were they born? You can see the biggest group, of course, 54 million people were born in the United Kingdom, 400,000 in the Republic of Ireland, 700,000 in India, 500,000 in Poland, 400,000 in Pakistan, 300,000 in Germany, 200,000 in the United States, also the same number in Bangladesh, and slightly fewer in Nigeria, Jamaica, Kenya, Australia, and Italy. Donc ça c'est le pays de naissance des résidents au Royaume-Uni. Now, I have more statistics here. Oh, sorry. Just some pictures of important places in Britain. Here you have the East London...
En fait, je ne vois pas très bien.
No. Here you have the East London Mosque, one of the biggest and newest mosques in London. This is a Sikh temple.
Le sikhisme, donc une religion venue de
l'Inde,
une religion assez intéressante parce que ça a été mis en place il y a plusieurs siècles. Et le but, c'était l'égalité des hommes et des femmes, depuis le début.
Ce qui est original pour une religion. There's a Sikh temple, big Sikh temple. And the other two are connected with music. Up on the right, you have a festival of Soca music, which is from the West Indies, from the Caribbean. And down here, you have just an advert for a particular radio station of Asian music.
Petite question de vocabulaire. En Angleterre, quand on dit Asian, asiatique, on veut dire indien pakistanais. Donc en français, si on dit asiatique, on pense chinois. En Angleterre, non. On dit Asian, ça veut dire indo-pakistanais. Le sud-est de l'Asie. C'est comme ça.
If you want to have a listen to the influence of West Indian and Indian culture in Britain, if you go onto the BBC website,
There are special stations for Indian music from England, West Indian music from England. It has a big influence on music.
Est-ce que vous connaissez la musique Bhangra? Quelqu'un connaît la musique Bhangra? Le Bhangra, c'est un mélange de un peu de rock et de musique traditionnelle indienne. C'est très populaire en Angleterre maintenant.
Two more places, symbolic places for immigrants. A synagogue in London and an Irish centre in Bolton, Lancashire.
Now, c'est un peu malheureux qu'on fait ce cours en 2011 parce qu'on fait les recensements tous les 10 ans. Et la dernière fois, c'était en 2001. Alors, on n'a que des chiffres qui datent de 10 ans. C'est comme ça.
One thing which is very interesting is that in France, the tradition in France is not to ask questions about people's origins.
Même en France, il est illégal de faire des statistiques à partir des origines ethniques.
En Angleterre, on le fait tous les jours. It's a traditional standard thing to do in Britain, and so every time they have a census, à chaque recensement, on vous demande, what is your ethnic origin? Are you Indian? Are you African? Are you Polish? Thank you. Okay? Here are the statistics.
Alors, vous allez, si vous regardez un peu de près, vous allez voir qu'il y a davantage d'Indiens que des gens qui sont nés en Inde. C'est normal. Ça, ce sont des gens de parents indiens nés en Angleterre, mais quand on leur pose la question, ils disent « je suis indien ». Donc, c'est une question de comment on s'identifie. Quand on habite en Angleterre et on a deux parents indiens, on a le choix. On peut dire « oh, mais je suis quand même anglais ». Ou on peut dire « merde, je suis indien ». C'est un choix.
Okay, and here is how it shows. You can see a million people said, I am Indian. And 750,000 people said, I am Pakistani. These are the biggest groups. So 8% of the population described themselves as belonging to a minority ethnic group.
8% disent oui, moi je fais partie de cette minorité. C'est subjectif, hein, comme il y a des gens avec des backgrounds identiques qui donnent des réponses différentes.
The biggest minority ethnic group, India, 2% of the UK population.
Et il y a 1,2% des gens qui disent je suis mélangé, moi, I'm mixed. Ok, c'est quelque part, on est tous, mais voilà. Donc, ça fait,
there you get the difference. Now, this is an interesting difference because in France, one of the reasons it is illegal to have ethnic statistics is that people imagine, well, people think there will be more discrimination if there are these statistics. In England, most people think that if you have statistics, you can reduce discrimination. It's a cultural difference. C'est une différence culturelle entre la France et l'Angleterre que je n'explique pas, hein, je sais pas. Mais je sais que ça ne choque personne en Angleterre, mais strictement personne qu'il y ait des statistiques basées sur l'origine ethnique. Personne. Il n'y a aucune opposition, ça n'existe pas. Donc, en France, il y a débat, il y a une minorité pour dire que ce soit une bonne idée, et sans doute la majorité qui est plutôt contente qu'il n'y en ait pas, quoi. Very interesting difference. Of course, the minority populations, when they came to Britain, they wanted to go where there was work. And so they are concentrated in the big towns. For example, in London, the minority ethnic population of the UK is concentrated in the large urban centres, often in poorer areas. For example, in London, white people make up 61% of the total population.
Je crois qu'il y a une ville en Angleterre où tout le monde est minoritaire. C'est, tous les groupes sont minoritaires. Il n'y a que des minorités. C'est-à-dire que les blancs, comme les autres, sont une minorité. Mais il n'y a qu'une ville comme ça. En général, c'est plutôt comme ça.
The second largest proportion of black and Asian people is in the West Midlands,
from Birmingham,
Birmingham, Silicon Valley, where black and Asian people make up 13%.
Encore un petit mot de vocabulaire. Très souvent en anglais, on dit black pour dire tout ce qui n'est pas blanc. Qu'on soit indien, pakistanais, antillais, africain, on dit tout ça black. Ça c'est une identité noire revendiquée souvent. Je ne vous apprends rien, il y a des discriminations et des inégalités basées sur tout ça.
Black and Asian groups, on average, are much poorer and have a higher unemployment rate than white people. Few high-status jobs, lower salaries.
Encore que, il y a une quinzaine de députés qui ne sont pas blancs, ce qui n'est pas le cas en France.
C'est pas beaucoup, je trouve, mais bon, c'est déjà ça. However, there is some progress, especially in public sector employment. And one more thing, just as with women, since the year 2000, public sector organisations are obliged by law to promote racial equality. So, if you are a hospital with 1,000 employees and all the top managers are white, you are obliged by law to show that you have a plan to improve the situation. Yeah. Again, this duty does not apply to private companies. Here we have a series of the laws, un série de lois, the Race Relations Act, and you also have the Equality and Human Rights Commission, qui avance à la Commission for Racial Equality.
C'est un petit peu comme la haute autorité de lutte contre les discriminations en France.
One last thing for today, because we've almost finished, the Employment Equality Religion or Belief Regulations. This is a new law, and it means that employers are obliged to make reasonable facilities available for a religion. So, for example, in a big supermarket with 200 employees, there must be a room for praying for Muslims, for example. It's a legal obligation.
Le mot dans la loi, c'est raisonnable. Alors, une toute petite épicerie avec 3 employés n'est pas obligée d'avoir une salle de prière, parce que c'est raisonnable. Mais tout ce qui est grande entreprise, obligation, s'il y a des gens qui veulent, obligation d'avoir une salle de prière.
The same thing, si un grand supermarché a 3 ou 4 employés juifs qui ne veulent pas travailler le samedi, il est obligé de dire, ok, pas de problème, encore une fois, sauf si ce n'est pas raisonnable parce qu'il n'y a que 2 employés.
So that's very, very English. En France, je crois que c'est inconcevable, une loi comme ça.
So again, a big cultural difference that the Employment Equality Religion or Belief Regulations.
Tout dernier point pour aujourd'hui. Of course, there is a history of racism in Britain, but there is also a history of anti-racism,
and here you have some of the most important organisations: Rock Against Racism in the 1970s, the Anti-Nazi League, and today 2 organisations: Love Music Hate Racism and Unite Against Fascism. Okay, that's all we have time for this week. Don't forget to look at the blog.
Ah oui, il y a des problèmes. Moi, j'ai vu récemment tous les livres sont des livres. Cela dit, moi, je trouve qu'il y a des choses qui vont, ben, justement, ben, on aurait pu parler un petit peu de racisme et tout ça, c'est vrai, on va s'arrêter aux questions comme ça. Cela dit, il y a plein d'exemples, plein de petits exemples avec les gens, c'est des grands, moi, je trouve limité, mais bien. Donc, en tout cas, je pense que. Mais ce dont tu parles,